Begin the current daf, Mesechtes Makos, daf Chof Gimel. Begin on the top of the Yamin, where the Gemara begins explaining the halacha of our previous Mishnah. Now, there's much discussion regarding this opening question, even if we have the gears of these first three words in the Gemara, but we'll assume that it's going on the last halacha of the Mishnah, which spoke about that if a man or a woman soils themselves as they're being hit by the Malkus, that exempts themselves. Which the Gemara says, my time, why if they're in the skalkal, does that exempt them? Mishum Nikla, because the whole halacha that it says in the Pasuk is if they're disgraced in front of your eyes, that's already the purpose, that's already the end. A person, that's not supposed to happen to a person. And therefore, once they're already disgraced, then we don't have to go ahead and give them the rest of the lashes. Now, Amar Rav Sheshesh B'Shimer B'Lozim Nazari, explaining a different halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Minayin L'Ritzuah Shehishal Egel, where do we know the halacha of our Mishnah? That the straps that the whip is made of should be made out of calf skin. So he says, because the Pasuk says, Nevarim Arbom Yakenu, that he should get 40, 39 lashes. The Pasuk near that says, L'Sachsim Sher B'Dishay, do not muzzle an ox when it's threshing. From the proximity of the two psukim, it tells us that the lashes that are given is from the skin of the shur, meaning from an eagle, from a calf. A similar type of a drasha from this pasuk, also from Amar Rav Sheshesh, Meshumar Blazav and Azari, he says, Minayin li yavama, shenafla from the mukashchin. From where do we know regarding a yavama, which is a woman whose husband died without any children, that the halacha is at tuzibim, that one of her brother-in-laws, her husband's brothers, have to go ahead and do yibum. So where do we know, says Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if the Yavama falls and the brother that's available to do Yibum is a Mukashchin, is someone that has full of, he's full of boils. He's a repulsive individual. Shein Chais Menoy, so that we do not muzzle her, meaning we don't force her that she's going to be stuck in a situation where we say, ugh, disgusting, I don't want to be married to this guy. How do we know that we don't force her? Chsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Leisachsim Shai B'disha, do not muzzle an ox when it's threshing. The Samachle, in the Pasuk near that says, Ki Yesh V'achim Yachtu V'gaymer, when brothers are sitting together, which it talks about the parashah of Yibum, we see that that proximity tells us that just like we don't muzzle the ox, we don't muzzle the woman and make her get stuck with her husband, her, meaning her husband's brother, for that, that's a mukashchin, that's a repulsive individual. Another teaching from Amar Rav Sheshesh, Meshumar B'Lozav and Azariah, says, Kol mevaza es ha-mayidim, whoever disgraces the holidays, meaning specifically Chulish al-mayid, the intermediate days between the primary days of Yom Tov, kilo oivet of a desert, like you worshipped idol worship. Tachsiv, because the Pasuk says in Shema'is, Elihei masei cholis ha-asloch, don't make molten deities for yourself. V'samachlein, the Pasuk near that says, Eschak ha-matzah tishmer, the holiday of Pesach, one should safeguard. Now the Gemara Chagiga, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, explains, if you think this Pasuk is talking about the first or the last days of Pesach, which are the Yom Tov days, that already says elsewhere. So rather, this pasuk is coming to warn regarding the cholish shemayim, the intermediate days, that it's forbidden to do malacha on it. If someone is not careful regarding those halachas of malacha on cholish shemayim, that's kilo oivid avodah zarah. Another teaching from Omer, and again, these are all regarding the halachas of proxemics in regards to the psukim. Omer Rav Sheshesh Meshum Rav Elazar ben Azariah, it says kolam esapa lashon hara, whoever says over lashon hara, gossip, slander. V'cholam akab lashon hara, whoever accepts lashon hara, or v'cholam made aid to sheker, whoever testifies false testimony, ro lashlich l'klav, any one of these three individuals is fit to be thrown to the dogs. Why? Because the chesed says in the pasuk, which is talking about over there, regarding one should not eat non-kosher a piece of meat that wasn't slaughtered properly. Rather, as a reward for what they did in Egypt, l'kelav tashlich l'naisa, you throw it to the dogs. Now, besamachle, the pasuk near that says l'sisa shem hashab, do not accept, do not receive false words, begaimer, etc., which that means referring to receiving lashon hara, begaimer, etc., where it says, Al tashas yotchem rasha li seitchem, do not place your hand with a wicked person to be a thieving witness, which is someone who testifies false testimony. That's the second one. Now, so besides receiving lashon hara and saying false testimony, you could read not loisisa, but karibe nami loisasi. You could read it as don't cause to be carried, meaning don't say over this shema shav, which is referring to lashon hara, and therefore it refers to all these three different individuals, which is near the pasuk of lakelav tashlich naisai. Whoever does one of these three things is fit to be thrown to the dogs. Now the Mishnah said b'shtei ritzuis b'chulu. So in this whip, there's also two straps that what said in the Mishnah, Eilam Yardin Bay, which Rivan in one interpretation explained, that it looks like it's going up and down because that's when you weave it in and out, it looks like as if it's crawling up or down that strap. So Tanu learned the Braisa, which is actually why there are those who say that not to have the Girsa in our Mishnah of Shel Chamor, because it's brought in the Braisa that's explaining this, that Shel Chamor, that those two straps that go up and down the strap of the whip is made out of donkey skin. Kedidarish Ahug Lila led Rav Chizda, like this certain Galilean expounded in front of Rav Chizda, what's the reason for that? We said why the straps itself are made out of shar, why are these interwoven straps made out of donkey skin? Because the Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Yodah Shar Kenehu, the ox knows its owner. V'chamor eves ba'olav, and the donkey knows the trough of its master. Yisrael lo yadav v'gayimah. But the pasuk says the Jewish people don't know their creator. They don't recognize Hashem as their master. So therefore, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yavay mi shemakar eves ba'olav, let the one, meaning the donkey, who recognized the trough of its owner, v'yipara mimi she'inamakar eves ba'olav, and take and punish from the one who doesn't recognize the trough of his master, meaning a Jewish person who sins, doesn't recognize who provides for him, which is Hashem, let the donkey who does recognize it take the punishment from that person. And therefore it's made out of the donkey skin. Now the Mishnah said additionally, yod the tefach, the handle of the whip is a tefach, v'chulu, etc., different halachas. And one of the halachas was that when they whip him on his back, it has to wrap around until it gets to the beginning of his belly. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Shema Mino, what we could infer from the halacha of our Mishnah is, kol chad v'chad lefum gabe avdinle. Every single person, according to the measurement of his back, we make a whip because it has to reach till his belly. Some people are skinnier, some people are fatter, some people are wider. There's many different dimensions. So every single person, we have to make a separate whip so that it gets and wraps around till the beginning of his belly. Amalei Rabbah, so Rabbah said to Abayim, Kain, if that's the case, nafash lo ritzuz too, but what the court is going to have so many different straps. Elamah Rabbah, rather Rabbah says, avkasa isli. No, there's one strap that the court uses, which has a knot. Kibayi mikterbe. When they want to, they could tie it and make it shorter. Kibayi merapaba. When they want, they could loosen it and make it longer, and therefore you could then tailor it, that same strap, for the dimensions of that specific person. Now the Mishnah additionally said, Malkan oise v'chulu, they, when they give him the lashes, as we explained that they're in multiples of three, a third of the lashes, let's say there's 39 lashes, some people can't handle so they get less, if there's 39, 13 of those lashes are going to be in the front, and 2/3 of it is going to be in the back. Says the Gemara Manan Amila, where do we know this from? That the whipping, 1/3 is in the front, and 2/3 are in the back. So Amar Rav Kahane says, because Amakra, the Pasuk says in the Varam, V'hipilu ha-shayfet v'hikol lefanav. The judge pushes down the defendant, and he hits him in the front, kedei rishas according to his wickedness, b'misper with a count, which sounds like a multiple, which are double of the rishas, meaning two rishas, which that's done from behind. Because as the Gemara explains, risha achas milfanav, you read it, lefanav is kedei rishas. So one measurement is in front. Misper, which was multiple, shtei rishas, that's me'achrav. So we see that one portion of it, 1/3 is in the front, and 2/3, shtei yadis, are in the back. Now the Mishnah said, he doesn't hit him sitting or standing, rather leaning over, and the source for that was the pasuk v'hipiloi, which is like in a falling type of a state. Now with that same pasuk, the Gemara brings a different drasha. Amar v'chizda m'biach, and it says, minayin l'ritzuah shimuch pelas, another halacha of our Mishnah, we do know that the strap has to be doubled over. Shanema, because it says in the pasuk v'hipiloi, which actually has some gears have it, karibe v'hich piloi. Read it doubled over. And that's the source that has to be doubled. And that is the Gemara of Amibay Leligufa, but you need the pasuk v'piloi to teach the halacha itself that we said in the Mishnah that the person has to be bent over as if he's in a falling type of a state. Says the Gemara, im kein lichtav kroyateyu, then the pasuk should have said leaning over. Mahi piloi, what's the word hipiloi in the falling state? Shemam in the Tarti, it's alluding to hich piloi, which that the strap itself has to be doubled over. Mishnah said, Hamaka, the one who's hitting, says, Maka b'yodhi, he hits with, by hitting him with the strap, with one hand. So Tanur Moreh, on the Braisa, Ein ma'amid din chazanim, we do not appoint the attendant who gives the whippings, El chaseri kayach v'yisiri mada, someone that's lacking strength and has a lot of intelligence, which is that, so that it shouldn't injure the person. He says, no, even the opposite. Even someone that is lacking intelligence and has a lot of energy, but not particular, even such a person could go ahead and give the whippings. Now, Amar Rabbi says, it's actually logical to be like Yehuda's opinion. Why? Because the Pasuk says in the Varam, when it talks about that there's 40 lashes that he should get. So it says 40 lashes, but lo Yosef should not do more than that. Pen Yosef, because maybe he's going to do more than that to hit a lot of things, and it's going to disgrace your brother in front of your eyes. That should not be done. So then we have to make sure to only give the amount that the person could handle, and for sure not more than 39. Now, says Rava, Iyamit b'shleim echaseir ma'adah, if you say, like Rabbi Yehuda, that they could even appoint those who are lacking so much intelligence to be the one who does the whippings, hayne d'tzarech la'azir, that's where the pasuk has to warn and say, hey, hey, don't do more than what you're supposed to, because this guy doesn't realize, he's not so intelligent. Eli Iyamit yiseir ma'adah, but if you say the one who does the lashes has to be someone with a lot of intelligence, so mitzarech la'azir, do we have to warn him? He knows the halacha, what's the point of the Torah giving a special warning? Which the Gemara says, but Rabbanon, what would they say regarding this proof that Rava brings for Rabbi Yehuda? They would say, no, Ein Mezarzin Elam LeMezuras, which is a famous quote, that, no, to the contrary, who are we warning? A guy with little intelligence? It's not going to even help. We only warn the one who could be warned, who's someone that's generally careful himself, so we give an extra measure of carefulness to the person, but yes, it's Tomad Yiserimad, and we're saying that he gets it, but those are the type of people that we get on top of and say, make sure you do a good job. Don't do more than what the person could handle. Now, talking about in the Braisa, when the one who's hitting lifts up his hand, he lifts it up with his two hands. But when he brings it down on the person and gives and does the hit, he only hits him with one hand. So that should come from him, meaning that it should have a lot of strength. Two hands is harder to calibrate it, that it should be very strong. One hand, it could come flying down, and it'll be a good whip. That's how it has to be with that strength. Now the Mishnah said that the one who recites recites the following psukim as we said in the Mishnah. Now Tarnbon learned the Braisa, Hagadol shebadayanim kari, the greatest of the judges of the court that's administering the lashes, he recites the psukim. Hashenu, the second one, is Moina, he counts 1, 2, 3, 4. Vashlishi amahikar, and it's the third one who says to the one who's doing the lashes, he says hit, and then the next one he says hit, and going on and on. Now, Bizman Shemaka Maruba, when there's a lot of lashes, let's say something like there was evaluated to be 39 lashes, so Marech, then the one who's reciting takes a long time in reciting it, so that it should end at the time, the Pesukim should end the same time at the end of the lashes. Bizman Shemaka Moetis, when there's very little lashes, let's say something that could only handle 18 lashes, then Makatza, then he does it very short, so that it could end at the same time. That is the Gemara, but Vanan Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah that it doesn't have to be exact. It says that if he finished reciting it and they're still giving lashes, so he starts over again. So says the Gemara, yeah, mitzvah letzamtzim. Ideally, the mitzvah is to be exact. Our Mishnah was saying that if he's not exact, then he goes back and starts over in the beginning of the psukim and continues again. Which the beginning of this braisa says in the Sefri, that I would only know that the Torah's warning, which we brought this pasuk before, that not to go ahead and do more than the amount of lashes that he's supposed to get, is only like what the pasuk's talking about when it says arbam yakano, when he's getting the 39-40 lashes. So, but how do I know regarding any type of evaluation where the court evaluates him, let's say for 18, how do I know that even over there he would not let him give more than what he was evaluated to get? And that says the pasuk lo yosef or pen yosef, that a person cannot add on in any situation more than what the court of value meant. Now, so the Braisa continues and says, it says in the pasuk over there, Arbam yakenu lo Yosef, pen Yosef, la kaisai, al eila, that he might come to give more than that, makar rabba. So it says in the pasuk, a large beating. Now, ein li eila makar rabba. So from the pasuk alone, I would only know that the liability of lo Yosef of not doing more lashes is only at a time when the beatings that he does more than what the person is supposed to get is a lot more than what it was evaluated to be. Maka mu'etes, but let's say if he does even just one or two more lashes than what he was evaluated to do, which are very few additions, minayin, how do I know that even that is forbidden to add on? Tamalayma lo Yosef, or like the Goyin has the word, if that's from the word of not lo Yosef, but al eila, that a person cannot add to hit on this, meaning on whatever it was that the person was evaluated to get. So M. Cain says the Gemara, so the Matam Alema Makarabas, and what does it teach when it says in the Pasuk a large beating, as if you're adding on a large beating, if we're saying that the drasha from the Pasuk is telling us, even if he doesn't add on a large beating, even if he just adds on a small extra beating, even one or two more lashes is prohibited. Now that says the Gemara, Limit al Rishayna Shein Makarabas, that's coming to teach a different halacha, that the first whippings are a large beating. Either the Girsan, the Rivan, is that, in other words, that we're able to hit him even against his will, Or as the Tesis Yamta says, the Girsa should be b'chol koichai, meaning that since, as we brought before, that the whippings are done with one hand, it's a very strong whipping. It's a makaraba. When it's saying makaraba, it's saying don't do more than the first ones, which was a makaraba, but it's not going on the additions. The additions is even alayla, even regarding one or two more. It's just saying that the original, the initial lashes themselves are a large beating because they're very strong. As we said, when it comes up with one hand and it really hurts. The Mishnah said niskalkel regarding if the person is who's getting whipped soils himself, so v'chulu etc. The machlek is regarding if there's a difference regarding a man and a woman, if it's specifically excrement or even if there's urination. So now the Gemara brings Tarmel, and then the Braisa brings those two opinions, and it brings a third opinion. So the first opinion says echad ish ve'echad isha, whether man or woman, they're only exempted from not getting any more lashes if they soil themselves with excrement, but not with urine. That's the Rebbe Meir. Behudam, he says, no, a man will only be exempted if he defecates, but a woman would be exempt even if she just urinates. The sages say, echad ish ve'echad isha, whether man or woman, whether if it's through urine or whether through excrement, either one, a man or woman will be exempted from, because it's already considered nikla, they don't have to go ahead and get any more lashes. Now, on that, as the Gemara of Atangel in the Braiser, Behudaim, he says, Echre ish vechre ish berei. The first Braiser quotes Rabbi Huda saying that a man is only with rei and a woman's even with water, with urine. Yet this Braiser seems to say that both man and woman are the same. With rei, sounds like a woman will not be exempted with just with mayim. On that, Rav Nachman Yitzchak, he says, this is what Rabbi Huda says, Echre ish vechre ish berei. What he's saying is, Shneim shavin berei means that both of them are going to be considered soiled and exempt when they excrete. When, however, regarding urine, that is where they differ. But it's not saying women are only with rei. It's saying in regards to that, they're the same. But again, women, according as we saw in the first opinion of Rabbi Huda, if they urinate, would also exempt them too. A similar related halacha, Amar Shmuel, he says, kaftuhu peratzmi bezin. If the cord already had tied down the person who was going to get lashed, but then he was able to get out and he ran away from court, patru, he's exempt from getting any more lashes. And that seems to be because, as the halacha that was saying, it was already considered benikla, he was already disgraced by just getting tied down. And that meisvei, and that digmar asks from the following braisa, kala, which is from the terminology of the pasuk of benikla, which is the terminology of being disgraced, which is if the person was disgraced by excreting. So on that says the Braisa, Bein Bereshayna Bein Bishniya. What does it mean, whether in the first one or the second one? Meaning, whether if he was hit at all, meaning he wasn't even hit yet, or whether he was already hit, meaning when it says Bereshayna, it means the first time the guy is going to hit him, when he first picked up his hand to hit him, if he defecates at that time because of the great fear that he's going to get hit, or if he soils himself the second time the guy picks up his hand, which is after he's hit, either way, patronisai, they exempt him, because as we said in the halacha of the Mishnah, he's already considered nikla, because he's already disgraced, so we exempt him. Doesn't have to get any more lashes. Now, let's say nifsika ritsua. Let's say the strap that is hitting him breaks, it rips. So then it depends. Bishniya, if it's the second time the guy's picking up his hand to hit him, then it pulls apart. Then patronizei, then they let him go because he was already nikla in the first hitting that he got. But if it's birishaina, if it's the first time, meaning before he ever got hit, the strap rips when the guy picks up his hand to hit him, so then that's not nikla, and therefore in patronizei, therefore they don't exempt him because it wasn't after the lashes had started. It has to be once you started the lashes and then he's disgraced, then that will let him go. And that is the Gemara Mai. Why? Lahava karatz. This should not be any less than when the person soils himself is one thing. So then we said even if he wasn't hit. Or if he was already hit and then something happens, so okay, you know, the guy already had his embarrassment and now something happens, they'll let him go. But the way Shmuel said it was even if the guy was just tied down and he ran away, where he wasn't hit at all, and he didn't soil himself, but just that he was tied down, lets him go. So here also should be the same thing like Shmuel's case where the guy ran away, where since he was tied down, when the guy picked up his hand and then the strap breaks, that itself should let him go. Why is it any different only when he was already hit one time? Says the Gemara, no. See, Shmuel's halacha wasn't just for the disgrace of being tied down. Hasam Rutz, there was also the disgrace that he had to run away like a fugitive. Hachalei Rutz, here he didn't run away, and since it would only rip before he was ever hid, so that wouldn't be enough to exempt him. If they hid him and then the strap rogue, then they would let him go. Now turn around the Braisa, Amdu, if they evaluate him, that Likasha Yilka Kala. They evaluated that it's obvious that if we're going to hit him, right away they could tell that this person is going to, his bowels are going to move, and he's going to soil himself. So then says the Braisa, patronize. So then they automatically let him go, because it says in the Pasuk, Pen Yosef, that maybe you might could do more lashes, and Benikla, and he's going to be disgraced. Which is that we can't give lashes that's going to cause him immediately to become disgraced, to become soiled. But if, let's say, they evaluate him that he's not going to be disgraced until Likshayetzi Mebezdin Kala, that only after the lashes, only when he's going to leave the court, only then we evaluate it, and yeah, automatically he's going to soil himself then Malkanayse, then we do give him lashes. But not only that, Elafila Kala Betfila. Let's say, before he received any lashes, he went and he soiled himself. Malkanayse, then we still give him lashes afterwards. The reason for that is, Shnimek, it says in the Pasuk, V'hiko, they hit him, V'koim, etc. V'nikla, and he's disgraced. Which teaches us that V'loi, that the exemption of V'nikla, is not, is and the Gira says actually that it's brought down not Shalokah, but Shenikla, V'loi Shenikla Kvar Bebezdin. It's not the exemption if he was embarrassed and disgraced beforehand in the court before anything ever happened. It's only after Vehiko, then it's Vinikla, then we let him off. But if he sold himself, if he was disgraced before anything ever happened, then that's not going to be enough to let him off the hook, and then we're going to still give him the lashes afterwards. The Gemara continues with the next Mishnah in our Perek. Kol Chiva Krisa Shalaku. Every person that's liable for Karis, which is that if a person does a certain sin, then he's liable for the death penalty from heaven, which has specific parameters in the sense of that he dies young and that his children die and that he doesn't have a certain portion. So let's say he gets lashes. The court administers lashes to this person that's chayev karas. So niftri de kirisasim, says the Mishnah, that exempts him from his karas. He's not going to die now at heaven. His children not going to pass away. Since he got the lashes, that neutralizes, that exempts him from the karas. Like it says in the Pasuk in Devarim, it says, "V'niklo achicha leinecha," that your brother is disgraced to your eyes. That's the simple translation, which is in the Pasuk that says that don't do more lashes than he's supposed to get because he's going to be disgraced, which is not the case. And actually, as we brought before, if he's disgraced even in the middle of the lashes, we stop then. But the Mishnah darshans and expounds the Pasuk to read it kishalaka, when it's v'niklo, when he's disgraced, then he's like your brother in your eyes, meaning because he's no more considered cut off from the Jewish people, that the lashes already takes away the liability of the karas. That's the Reb Chananya ben Gamliel. Another exposition from Amr Reb Chananya ben Gamliel, he says, regarding this of a person that gets karas, says, ma'im ho'ivra avera achas. If we find that regarding someone who could do one sin, he loses his soul because of this, he gets karas. So, ha'isa mitzvah achas. So, if someone does one positive commandment, alachas kama v'kama, all the more so, shetinas le'nafshi, that his soul should be given to him. Because as we know, that midu teva meruba, Kadosh Baruch Hu's measurement of good, is much more than his attribute of punishment. And it's a ratio of 500 to 1. The reason that we know this is because by punishment, it says in Shema Yisrael, Peiket Avin Avis Alban Makashem remembers the sin of the fathers on the sons for 3 or 4 generations. Now, by the good measurement, it says, Eitzeh chesed la'alofim, he does kindness for alofim, which the Targum translates, la'alfin dori, for 2,000 generations. So you have 4 generations in contrast to 2,000 generations, which is a ratio of 500 to 1, because the minimum of alofim is at least 2,000, and for sure, which according to the simple translation of the Pasig, is that alofim sounds like for thousands of generations, which is up until the end of all generations. So if for bad, that a person loses his soul, for sure, for one mitzvah, he for sure gets his soul, which is a ratio of 500 times greater. Now, Reb Shimon, he says, Mimkoyme hulamat. You can learn it out from the context itself. You don't have to compare it from the bad to the good to know this halacha. Because Shenem, it says in the Pasuk of Yikra, after that it talks about the prohibited relationships of arayis, says, V'nichrasu hanafashis ha'isis v'gaymen, those who do these forbidden relationships will be cut off, they'll have karas, etc., which is that if someone who stumbles on these halachas is liable for karas. But the Pasuk also tells us that it gives life to someone who withstands and removes himself from these types of forbidden relationships. Because even the Pasuk beforehand says, before it talks about the arayas, it says, that one should safeguard my statutes and my judgments as we continue to Amud Beis. It says, that a person should do them and live by them. Now, what does it say right after, as we said? It says, it talks about the prohibited relationships, which sounds like whoever does my chukim, I will give him life. And what are my chukim? Ish, it talks about the parshas of Arias. So says the Mishnah, what this comes to teach you is kala yoshev lo avaver, even greater. Not only that it says a contrast of the bad to the good in this pasuk itself, but it teaches you even a greater lesson, that whoever is yoshev lo avaver, if someone just sits and doesn't do a sin, they give him reward as if he did a mitzvah. It says, yasa oisa adam, doing, what are you doing? You're just not doing, you're just not sinning with the arayas. We see that's considered as if a person did a mitzvah, and all the more so, as we said, how much greater is the good than the bad, and the pasuk here is saying explicitly that it gives a person life. Pshim b'Rebbe Eimer, he continues on this theme, and he says, Hareyu Eimer, the pasuk says in the Devarim, Rak chazak, just be strong, levilti achal adam, that you shouldn't eat the blood. Ki adam hu hanefesh, b'gayim, a person is not allowed to eat the blood of the animal, b'gayim, etc. Now, says the Mishnah, says Rabbi Shimon Rebbe, Umahem Adam, if regarding blood, Shanaf Shishlodim Katzimeno, a person is usually disgusted from blood. Many people, they see blood, they run away. HaPayish Mimen Mekabaschar, if someone removes himself from partaking of blood, he receives reward. So Gezel Varais, regarding theft and illicit relationships, Shanaf Shishlodim Mesavalahen Umachamdasin, that the soul of a person desires it and lusts after it. HaPayish men, if someone removes himself from them, Allah has kama v'kama she'iskala, all the more so, as we said, just not doing a sin, and especially for things that a person lusts after, for sure how much reward he's going to get, for his generation and his generation's generation until all the end of generation, for the reward of not doing that sin. And the conclusion of this mission, of this Mesechta, tops off this idea, Reb Chananya ben Akasha Eimer, which is famous after Agadic teachings that we say this before saying Kaddish, the Rabbanon, Reb Chananya ben Akasha says, Ratz HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'sakes Es Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to merit the Jewish people so that they should receive reward. And the theme, like we're saying in the past few opinions, by just not doing certain sins. L'fikach Hirbalem Torah Mitzvah. Therefore, he increased for them the amount of Torah and mitzvahs, which were unnecessary, so to speak, to warn them, let's say, so many different asharas. There's on one little bug, there's so many different isurim, where a person doesn't even want it. He's disgusted by the bugs. And it's just that a person should receive reward by removing and refraining from partaking from these things. Hashem wanted to give more reward, so he gave more mitzvahs on them. Shneimar, like it says, a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem chafetz l'man tzedkah, Hashem desired because of his, meaning the righteousness, the justice of the Jewish people, he wanted to be matzdik them, so yagdol Torah v'yad, he increased the Torah and he made it mighty, again, as an opportunity for people who anyways don't want to do these things, to say that you're doing it and you're getting a mitzvah for it, so that they get more reward for that. Now, Amar B'Yechanan, Rabbi Yechanan says, regarding the opening halacha of HaMishnah, chalukin alav chaveir al Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, the colleagues of Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, who had said that Malkus exempts a person from Karas, they disagree with him. Now, Amar Vadbar Rav, he says, Amri Bei Rav, it was said in the yeshiva, the Taninan that we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Megillah, like Rabbi Yechanan, that we see clearly that are those who disagree with Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Why? Because the Mishnah says as follows, Ein Bein Shabbos Le Yom Kippurim. There's no halachic differences between Shabbos and Yom Kippurim. Elo, rather, Shezeh is the Dain of the Adam. Rather, someone who violates his Mechal Shabbos, if he does it deliberately, he gets death penalty by the hands of the courts. And whereas if someone's deliberate in his chil of the halachas of doing malacha in Yom Kippurim, then he gets, like the terminology of the pasuk of hikaris to karis, he gets karis, which is misa b'dei shamai. Now, on that says the Gemara, vim isa, now if it was true like Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel, then idibi adam hu, then actually both Shabbos and Yom Kippurim are both punishments that are meted out by the court, because he said Yom Kippurim, which is a chiv of karis, could be exempted by getting Malkus, which is Achiv B'nei Adam. So obviously from that Mishnah, we see that the Chaverim disagreed with Rabbi Gamliel and held in Yom Kippurim, meaning Karis, is something that's only B'dei Shemayim and not by Malkus. Now, Rabbi Nachum Yitzchak Kohen, he says, no raya. You could say, Hamani, who's the Tana of this Mishnah, Masechtas Megillah? Rabbi Yitzchaki. The Amma that he says, Malkus b'chiv krisis leka, he says that a person cannot give. There is no liability of Malkus in regards to a karis type of a punishment. And therefore, obviously, then the Malkus cannot exempt from the karis. But if Malkus would pertain to karis, then yes, the Malkus would exempt from the karis, like Rav Hanan Yom Lila said in our Mishnah. The Tanakh Limna Brais Yitzchokim, he says, chiv krisis b'chlal hoyu. We had a general pasuk that said that there is a liability of karis for anyone that engages in arayas, in any forbidden intimate relationship. Then why did the Torah mention specifically karis by the incestuous relationship of one sister? That's just a Yitzchok, because it's coming to teach you l'doin the b'karis v'le b'malkus. It's yitzim na klal olamin al klal kol yatzah, to tell you that there's only going to be karis by the arayas, and there's not going to be lashes. And that's why the Mishnah Masechet Megillah says, and it's going like a Yitzchok, that if someone deliberately violates the halachas of Megipurim, he gets karis, which is b'dei shemayim and not b'dei adam. But according to the one who holds that there is malchus by chiv krisis, would agree to Reb Chananya that he would be exempt from his krisis once he gets the malchus. And therefore, as Rivan adds, so it was necessary for Reb Yochanan to tell us that his colleagues disagree with him, because we wouldn't know that from the Mishnah Masechet Megillah, because we would say the Mishnah over there is like Rabbi Yitzchak, where there is no Malkus. But if there was Malkus, we would think that maybe everyone would agree to Rabbi Chanan ben Gamliel that the Malkus would exempt from Karas. Therefore, we need Rabbi Yechanan to say that no, not everyone agrees to this, and that they do disagree with him. Rabbi Asham, he says, a philotem, you could even say that the Mishnah Masechet Megillah is the Rabbanan, who they say that the chiv krisis is included in the category of getting lashes. Meaning, a chiv karis is something that it's a negative prohibition, where every negative prohibition gets lashes. It's just that when it's chiv misbezin, you're not going to do lashes and death, so you give death. But when it's karis, b'dei shemayim, that's what heaven does. But the court over here gives lashes. Now, even so, we could say that they agreed to Reb Chananya that it would be exempted, meaning once he gets lashes, it would exempt him from the karis. But then the question was, and that's what Rav Ada bar Ava was assuming, that, wait a second, then it comes out that Misa B'dei Shemayim, Misa B'dei Adam, and karis are both B'dei Adam, because you're saying karis could be exempted by getting malchus. So why is the Mishnah in Masechet Megillah say that Yom Kippurim, which is karis, is B'dei Shemayim, if you're saying like Chanan ben Gamliel, that it is also has B'dei Adam element? That says Rav Ashi, no, you can't compare them. Because zeh ikur zedoyne b'dei adam, the primary punishment of doing chilul Shabbos is b'dei adam, because he gets death penalty of skila by the court. Zeh ikur zedoyne b'dei shemayim, whereas the primary punishment of Yom Kippurim is at the hands of heaven, because even though yes, there is a chiv of malchus when you still have a chiv of karis, but that's not the primary chiv, because karis is definitely more stringent than malchus. Dying young, one's children dying is more than getting lashes. And therefore, if he does deliberately without getting any warning, he gets karis. So it comes out that his primary, more stringent liability is b'dei shemayim. And when the Mishnah of Masechet Megillah was describing the contrast between Shabbos and Megipurim, was going based on the primary liability. Not as Rivan says, as someone to say, ikur zedoyne means to say, because initially it's karis, and if he wouldn't get malchus, he'd get karis. No, because both of them are applying by the Rabbanan, who say that you have malchus by chiv krisis, both pertain. Rather, the reason is because the primary liability, the more severe one, is karis. Therefore, it says that this one's b'dei shemayim and this one is b'dei adam. But yes, they could agree, and there's no proof from that Mishnah, not like Reb Chanan ben Gamliel, even if you don't say like Reb Yitzchok, because it's talking about the primary liability. But yeah, you could say like Reb Chanan ben Gamliel, when they get lashes, that exempts them from the karis. Now, Amr v'adabar ava Amr Rav, he says, Aloha Reb Chanan ben Gamliel, that the liability that a person has for karis and malchus for doing a certain love, when he gets the malchus, that exempts him from the karis. He doesn't get karis anymore from Shemayim. On that, Rav Yosef says, "Man salak le'elo, who went up above to Shemayim? Va'as savam and came and told us. How does he know that the halacha is regarding what in heaven they do with their karis to say that, oh, if you get malchus here, that they're not going to kill him and punish him from up above?" So only Abayi said, Rav Yosef, wait a second. Elohada mi Rishu ben Levi. Then this other teaching of Rishu ben Levi that he said, "Shleisha dvarim asu bezin shalmata." There are three things that the court down here did. And the court up there agreed to them. Who went up there and came and told us that that's the case? And how do we know things in heaven? Because we expound Pesukim, which is Hashem's word that tells us for whatever's going to happen in the world. And therefore here also, the same idea, we're expounding Pesukim, which teach us this halacha, and therefore we know that that's the halacha regarding karis, which are things that are done in Shemayim. No one has to go up there. You look in the Torah, you know what's happening up there in Shemayim. Now, Gufo, once we introduced this proof of Abaya from this teaching of Shimon Levi, so the Gemara discusses it. There are three things that the courts did down over here. And the courts up there agreed to it. Elohim, and these three things are Mikra Megillah, that there's an obligation to recite the Megillah on Purim, the Megillah of Esther. V'she'ela Shalom B'Shem, that it's permitted for someone to inquire how his friend is doing by using the name of Hashem. For example, Yasim Hashem Allah Shalom, Hashem shall place upon you peace, and there's no problem about saying Hashem's name in vain. Or it means actually that there's an obligation to inquire how someone else is doing by using Hashem's name. And that's how we do it. When we ask someone how he's doing, we use Hashem's name because Shalom, which we say, Shalom, is Hashem's name. Like it says in Shaftim Vav, V'yikol Hashem Shalom, L'shem Hashem. So therefore, we see that we use Hashem's name. And Vavos Meiser. And also, regarding the bringing of the tithes, where although that's a biblical obligation, but as the Gemara in Yevamos Daf Pei Vav Beis explains that Ezra HaSofer penalized the Levim because they didn't come up with him from Bavel for the second Beis HaMikdash, so he commanded that all the tithes should be brought to the chamber in the house of Hashem, and the Kahanim and the Levim should share equally in the Meis HaRishon, like it says in the Pasuk in Sefer Ezra Nechemiah, that V'haya Kohen ben Aaron im Levim ben Meis Levim, that the Kahanim and Levim share in the Meis. So that was something that was a tekana of the Bezdin Shalmata, which we're going to explain shortly, was agreed to by the Bezdin Shalmala. So to Chizkiyahu also did the same similar type of a thing, where he prepared chambers to bring all the mices over there, so that the Levim, who were idol worshippers, should not get it. Like it says the Pasuk in Divrei Yamim, says that Chizkiyahu said to prepare the Lishkas and the Beis Hashem, and they prepared and they brought the Trum and the Meiser, and he also was Mesakin, to bring up to Yerushalayim, Maisi Yerik or Maisi Ilam, which was only rabbinic, which was instituted later on, which are types from the vegetables and from fruit trees, where it says the Pasuk over there, Kapretz Adavar, which the Gemara in the Dharm explains what's that. Everything is Deiraisa. So it means that he instituted Maisi Yerik or Maisi Ilam. That's what was instituted rabbinically. Now it says in Sefer Trei Asa, as the Gemara is going to later explain, that the Prophet said to the Jewish people, Heviu is kol ha-maisra al-beisa oitza b'gaymer. U'b'chananin ha-bezais. Meaning, obviously we see that Hashem agreed and said, bring all of it here. He wants all of that, meaning even the maisra that was instituted by the Bezen Shalmata, Hashem says, yeah, we agreed with it up above. I want all of that. That's all considered in halacha maisra. So the Gemara explains the source for these three halachas. How do we know that it was agreed to up there in heaven, like we said, because we darshan it from Pesukim? Mikra Megillah Siv, how do we know regarding the obligation to recite Megillah? Because it says a pasuk in Megillah Esther, Kimu v'kibla ha-Yehudim, that they substantiated and they accepted the Jews. Now, what does that mean? The Jews received it. What does it mean, Kimu? Kimu l'mala, they substantiated above, mashikiblu l'mata, what they received down here, which is, just like down here, they received that the court had said to recite the Megillah. Up there, they were mekayim that, and they said, yes, that is exactly what the halacha should be, and therefore we know that they were mekabalat above, like that was done down here. V'sheila shalom, how do we know that there's an obligation or permission to say Hashem's name upon greeting someone? Like it says in Megillas Ruas, it says, V'hini bayez bo me beis lechem, bayez was coming from beis lechem, v'yayim l'kaitzim Hashem yimachim, he said to the ones who were cutting the grain, he says, Hashem is with you. So you see, he uses Hashem's name in the greeting. So to Va'im, it says the Pasuk in Shaftim, Hashem Imcha Gibra Achayel. Hashem is with you, the mighty warrior. So the Gemara says, my Va'im, why does it have to bring another Pasuk? It says the Gemara, because V'chitem Boyz Huda Avim Midaita, if you're going to think that maybe Boyz did it on his own awareness, but not necessarily condoned by heaven, made from heaven, they didn't agree to what he did. Tashma, that's what the Pasuk brings in Shaftim, V'im Hashem Imcha Gibra Achayel, and Hashem says, And he says, Hashem is with you, mighty warrior, meaning from the fact that the Malach said to Gideon, in the way of he was greeting him, the name of Hashem, obviously that from heaven, which is the Malach, is only coming from Shemayim, agreed to that idea, which was instituted down here, to greet someone else with Hashem's name. Finally, the third thing, Havois Maistachsev, the bringer of Maiser, like it says in the Pasuk of Malachi, Heviu es kol ha-maisa, Hashem says, bring all the tithes, which include all those which they instituted, which is Maisa Yerik, and also giving it to Levim and all that, el beis ha-oitzer, to their storehouse, v'hi teref beveisi, that there should be food in my house, says Hashem, u'b'chanuni no bezoisam Hashem tzavakas, and test me out with this, says Hashem, the Lord of hosts, im lo'echtach lechem as-rubis ha-shemayim, if I'm not going to open up for you all the windows in heaven, meaning if you're going to fulfill my mitzvah, bring me ma'aser to me. And I'm going to empty out for you a blessing without limit. Says the Gemara, my ad belida. What does it mean, until without limit? Amar Rami Barav, ad sheyiblu sifsei seichu meloy medai. So you can read the word beli, like from the word of sheyiblu. Until your lips are going to be worn out from saying, enough, I don't need, don't give me more, there's so much. That is how much blessing a person is going to get if he fulfills the halacha of Meiser, Asher, B'shlosha Tis'asher. And we see again that Hashem agreed by saying, Kol HaMeiser, to this takana, which were done by different Nevi'im, and these types of rabbinic halachas regarding Meiser, they were Mekayim, and Malmal Hashem said he agrees to that. A similar type of a drasha regarding three places, Amr Belazar, Begimel Mekaymes Hefi Aruch HaKadosh. In three places, the Divine Presence revealed itself and proved a concept at a time when it was necessary, or that the word Hefi means that it was said in a great voice. Once was Beveis Din Shel Shem, in the court of Shem, which is from biblical Shem. Ubeveis Din Shel Shmuel Harmasi, in the court of the leader of the Jewish people, Shmuel Harmasi. Ubeveis Din Shel Shlema, and in the court of Shlema Melech. First of all, Beveis Din Shel Shem, which, as Rivan points out, Shem himself wasn't alive at that time because he already passed away in the days of Avram. Rather, it refers to his court that was after him from his sons and his students. It was called the Beis Din of Shem, just like we call Beis Shem Yisil, even way after Shaman Hill. Where do we find that the Ruach HaKodesh was present? But the Dechsel, like it says, the Pasuk in Bereishis, Vayaka Yehuda recognized when Tamar sent the sign where it was obviously that she was impregnated by someone else, although she was supposed to wait for Yehuda's other sons, and Yehuda says, so she's Chayiv Misa. So she sent a sign, which to show that it was Yehuda really, or unbeknownst to him, that he had relations with her. So he recognized the sign. The Yemit Satkin, he said, she's right. Mimeni, the children that she's carrying are actually from me, and therefore he didn't kill her. Asked the Gemara, Mano Yoda, how did he know that those fetuses were from him? Dilmaki hechadazal iyula gaba. Maybe just like he went and had relations with her, thinking she was a prostitute. Also, nami inishachrin lagaba. Maybe someone else also did. She was there on the roadside. Who knows? Maybe many people had relations with her, and she was impregnated by a different man. How do you know it's from him? And therefore, says the Gemara, yatzis bas kol v'amr. It wasn't him who said mimeni. It was a heavenly voice that rang out and said, mimeni yatzu kavushim. From me, says Hashem, came out these kavushim, which according to one interpretation means things which are pressed down, which are concealed, says Hashem, it came out from me. Because since Yehuda was the Melech, the king of all the brothers, and also Tamar was going to merit that kings should come out from her because she was modest in her father-in-law's house, so says Hashem, this decree came out from me that the seed of royalty should come out from the two of them. Or it means that Hashem says, from me came out that should be from this union two sons that will be kaivish, that will conquer the world, because ultimately David and Mashiach will come out from this union. The second incident, Beveis Din Shel Shmuel, is the Chassidic, it says the Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. Shmuel said when he was handing over the mantle of leadership from him to Shaul, he said to the Jewish people, Hineni, here I am. Onu bi neged Hashem and neged Mashiach, answer me in opposite Hashem and opposite his anointed one. Esher mi lekachti, whose ox did I take? But remember the Jewish people said, Loi, no, Loi Ashaktonu, but Loi Ratzasoni, you didn't oppress us, you didn't steal from us, don't worry, you were the best leader. The Yemeni said more. He says, Eid Hashem, Hashem is the witness. The Eid Mashiach, His anointed one, is the witness. Ki loy metzasim b'yadim u'me, you do not find anything of yours in my hands. The Yemeni said, Eid, yes, it's a good witness. Ask the Gemara, the Yemeni, he said, v'yayim u'me b'yilei. It should have said that they, because it was talking about the Jewish people responding. The Jewish people said, yes, it's a good witness. Therefore says the Gemara, Yatsa Baskavam. It wasn't the Jewish people that said. A heavenly voice rang out and said, Ani Eid B'davazah. Hashem was saying in the singular, I am a witness that Shmuel did not take anything from the Jewish people inappropriately. In the third incident, Beveis Din Shel Shlomo, in the court of Shlomo, the Chassidic, it says the Pasuk Melachim Aleph. It says, V'yan HaMelech V'yem, the king answered and he said to the famous incident where two women claimed that the child was theirs. And Shlomo HaMelech said, okay, look, we don't know, we have to make a compromise. Split the child in half. Give one half to you, one half to the other one. And one mother spoke up and said, no, don't go, don't kill the child and split him in half. You could give it to the other woman. So Shlomo HaMelech answered and he said, oh, tnu lo esayel arachai. The woman who said that give it to the other one, she is the one that you should give the live child to. V'homei slamit misu, and don't kill this child, don't split him in half. He imai, she's the rightful mother. Says the Imam, no yada. How did he know that she's the rightful mother? Maybe she was being conniving and she was trying to trick him and say, oh, don't split it and give it to the other one. But maybe she really wasn't the real mother. How could he know with definity? So therefore says the Gemara, Yotza Baskov Amra, a heavenly voice rang out and said, it wasn't Shlomo who said that. It was the heavenly voice that said, she's the mother. Now, Amar Rava, he asks on all these three incidents, what's the proof that there was a heavenly voice? He says, Mimai, where do we know this from? Dilma Yehuda, cave in the Chosh of Yarech, v'yoymi v'yisrami. Maybe Yehuda calculated the months and the days, and he found out, he realized, wait a second, this woman's pregnancy is at this point, and he went back in the times of days, and he realized, yes, that the impregnation happened that same day that he had relations with that prostitute. With the Chazin and Mechaskina, what we see is that what we presume, which is, that was the day. What we don't see, we don't presume. It doesn't have to think that maybe it's the same exact day that according to the calculations that he had relations with her, maybe another man did. That's how he knew it's from him. So therefore it's not a proof that it was a heavenly voice that said it. Maybe he knew with definity that it was him. Shmuel Nami. The Rav also asks regarding the incident of Shmuel, Kulu Yisrael Karaluhu Balashon Yechidi. The fact that it says in the singular terminology, we find that it could be the whole Jewish people that are used in the singular terminology. The Sefer says the Pasuk in Yeshaya. It says Yisrael Noishav Hashem. It doesn't say Noishaim. It says the Jewish people are saved through Hashem. So it could be the Jewish people that are not, and it wasn't Hashem that was calling out with a baskel. And more of a Shlema Nami, the third incident by Shlema too. And the fact that this woman was merciful, saying don't kill him, and she was willing to give up an opportunity of having the child to give it to the other one. The other one was not merciful, said, yeah, split him up. Obviously he knew that was maternal instincts, and that's how he knew. So why do we have to say that it was a baskel? And rather says Rav Gemara, rather it's a Messiah, it's a tradition that we have that there was a baskel and that the Shekhinah came in those three places, but there's no proof in the Pesukim from these incidents to show that it was a baskel. It could have been that they knew by themselves. Now the Gemara continues in related topic of the Halacha of our Mishnah regarding the HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving Hirbalem Torah Mitzvahs. So Darshab Samloy expounded, he says, Sheish Meis Vishlesh Esri Mitzvahs Nemroloy LaMoshe. There were 630 mitzvahs, commandments, that were said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Shalish Meis Vishisha Mechamisha Laban, 365 negative prohibitions, Kaminyam Esachama, like the days of the solar year, because every single day is warning, don't violate a sin. U'mesayim Barbar Meshmoina Esay, and there were 248 positive commandments, negative of Shal Adam, which correlate to the limbs in the person's body, because every single limb is saying, do something good with me. Now, Amr of Nuni says, Micro, what's the pasuk that shows that there's 613 mitzvahs? Because the pasuk in the Varm says, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe Mayrasha, that the Torah Moshe Rabbeinu commanded to us as an inheritance. Now, Torah, the word Torah, Bigamatria is the numerical evaluation of, as we continue to talk about Chavdalman Aleph, Shis Mei V'chatzri Havi, it's 611. Because Taf is 400, Vav is 6, Resh is 200, and Hey is 5. You add it up, it's 611. That's what's saying, Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. Moshe commanded to us, meaning through the medium of Moshe, we had Torah, which are 611. The remaining two, Anoichi V'lo Yilach, those two mitzvahs, those two commandments, Mipiha Gevur Shemanim, those we heard from Hashem, as the Pasuk says, Achas Dibra Kim, Hashem spoke one thing, Vishtaim Zushamana, we heard two things, we heard Anoichi and Malayach, both, which is, one is, I'm the only one, and that there's no other, that we heard from Hashem, that comes for a total of 613 commandments taught, that were taught to us by Hashem, two directly, and the 611 from Moshe, Torah Tzivah Lanu Moshe, Mayrasha.